Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to stay here so you will be greatly benefited by going there and following through the course of this lesson. I'll be using the New International Version. Verse 22. You were taught with regards to your former way of life. Stop right there. Paul says that as Christians, you have been taught concerning your life before you became a Christian. Look at verse 22. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self. Look at verse 24. And to put on the new self. Brethren, look at me. There is a putting off of the old and a putting on of the new. There is a putting off of the old and a putting on of the new. Here's what that tells me. Brethren, Christianity is more than just trying to live a little better than we used to. This tells us that Christianity is a total change. These two verses tell us that Christianity is a complete transformation of who and what we are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says anybody who is a Christian is a new creation. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4, Paul says that we are raised out of the waters of baptism in order that we live a brand new life. So let's ask that. If being a Christian is a new life, then why, after I become a Christian, do I have so many of the same old struggles? I mean, if this is new, then why, after I do this, am I still struggling with the stuff after I become a Christian than I did before I became a Christian? Why am I having the same struggles? To be sure, there are many answers to that. But you need to examine carefully two relationships. You need to examine carefully two relationships. First, you need to examine your relationship to sin. Your relationship to sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, shall we as Christians, shall we continue to live in sin? And he answers, God forbid. No. Then he says, well, look, he explains what our relationship to sin is. His next statement, he says, well, how then shall we who are Christians, how shall we continue to live in sin? He says in the verse, we have died to sin. How shall we who have died to sin keep living in sin? Maybe the reason I have so many of the same struggles, maybe the reason for that is that, yes, I was buried with the Lord in baptism, but I never died to sin. I never died to sin. The second relationship you need to examine, if your Christian life is just that constant struggle with the old, you need to examine your relationship with Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter says, wake up. Be alert here. Be aware. Hey, 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 listen, wake up. He says, because your enemy, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, you have this new life now. You're a Christian now. You're striving now. But listen to me, the devil is not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up. And as long as you're a Christian and as long as you're striving for the Lord, the devil is going to keep trying to call you and bring you back to the old self and to the old way. Now, all of that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. All of that brings us right here. Ephesians chapter 4, listen to me and you understand where we're going. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, very naturally divides itself into two parts. In verses 17 through 19, Paul talks about the old life. This is who we are, this is who we were, and this is what we were before we became Christian, the old life. Then in verses 20 through 24, Paul talks about the new life. This is who we are now. This is what we're supposed to be now. We're going to take these two things and look carefully at what Paul said about each of them. Everybody with us? We got this? Stay in that Bible and watch this closely. Number one, Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. Paul talks about the old life. He talks about the pre-conversion life. He talks about how we live before Jesus came into our lives. Look carefully, verse 17. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Listen to me. I want you to highlight the word Gentiles in verse 17. The word Gentile is used in different ways in the New Testament. how the word is used depends upon the context that the word is sitting in. Now, there are some times that in the New Testament, the word Gentile means everybody who isn't a Jew. It'll say the Jews and the Gentiles. So the word Gentile there means everybody who isn't a Jew. Listen, that's not how the word is used there. In verse 17, the word Gentile is referring to pagans. It's referring to people who live for themselves, who live in sin and care nothing about God. Look what he says now, verse 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. Paul is saying, listen, what I'm telling you right now, I am telling you by the authority of Jesus Christ. Well, what is it? He says that you no longer live your life like the Gentiles. Here's what Paul is saying, and he's saying it in words that we cannot misunderstand. Brethren, Paul is saying that as Christians, we must be different from the world. We can't be like they are. We can't live like they live. And the apostle is saying, listen, what I'm saying now isn't based on me. It's based on the authority of Jesus Christ. We can no longer live like people who are pagans, and we can no longer live like people who would think it's all about them and what they want to do. So here's the question. Here's the question. Paul says at the beginning of verse 17, we cannot live any longer like the world. Here's the question. So how does the world live? You're telling me not to do something. Now tell me what that something is. Listen real close to this sentence. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to answer 100 questions that you have about the world and about why what's happening out there is happening. Every one of us has thought this. Every one of us has asked these questions. Why is the world in the condition it's in? Paul tells these Christians, you can't live like they live. Okay, how do they live? Look at the latter part of verse 17. Do not live like the Gentiles do. All right, how do they live? In the futility of their thinking. In the futility of their thinking. Here's what he's saying. You can't live like the world because the world's thinking is all messed up. That's what he's saying. You can't live like the world. How do they live? Their thinking is useless. He says their thinking is all messed up. Brethren, listen to me. When your thinking is messed up, you're messed up. Back in the late 80s, and I'll tell you in a minute why I'm telling you this because of something happened years after this. Back in the late 80s, there was a man named Carlos Linder. Carlos Linder was a Colombian drug lord. And there was a time in the 80s, maybe even the early 90s, when Carlos Linder was responsible for more cocaine being in America than any other one human being. He was called the King of Coke. He's still alive to this day. He's 74 years old now. But years after all of this, Carlos Linder did an interview, and he was asked in the interview, what do you think it was that made America so susceptible to drugs? And Carlos Linder answered the question. He said that any people whose lives are dominated by pleasure, by immorality, and high times is doomed to drugs. Listen, that's not an apostle who said that. The King of Cocaine said that. You know what he was saying? What he was saying is that what makes people so susceptible to drugs is that their thinking is all messed up. We can't be like the world. Well, how does the world live? Their thinking is messed up. They got it all wrong in their head. Let me approach it from this way. Let's go this way. If I were to ask you, go to the Bible and give me one verse that describes America today, what would that verse be? One verse in the Bible that describes America. Would that verse be Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, what would it be? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. No, stop. No. Let me give you a verse. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call good evil. Woe unto them that call evil good. Woe unto them that call darkness light and light darkness. Woe unto them that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Brethren, when I say the world's thinking is all messed up, what I mean by that is that they have no godly understanding about anything spiritual. Listen, we now call evil good. Hello? We call good evil. We stand at night and call it daylight. We stand at light and call it darkness. Our thinking is messed up because our thinking doesn't take in anything that God would call this how you ought to do it. You can sit there like that, but it's not going to stop me. You understand? There ain't not enough people in here shut me up. No. Their thinking is messed up. People are walking around, they got no thought of God. How does the world live? Secondly, look at the first part of verse 18. The first part of verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, they are separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. How does the world live? The world lives in ignorance. And to me, this is amazing. This is amazing. In America, we have education everywhere, and our problem is ignorance. It's ignorance. We have education everywhere, and we are ignorant about how to keep our homes together. We have education everywhere, and we are ignorant about how to put a curb on the crime problem. Education is everywhere, and we are ignorant about how to get people to just stop killing each other. It's ignorance. Now listen carefully to me. That word, ignorance, verse 18, you see that word? That word, ignorant, doesn't mean that we don't have the mental capacity to figure it out. The word ignorance there means willful blindness. It isn't that we can't learn, it's we don't want to know. Listen, willful ignorance, willful blindness is what leads to false religion. Where people just make up stuff that they're going to believe and attribute it to God. It isn't because we can't go to the scripture and figure it out. The problem is we don't want what it says. It is our willful blindness that causes us not to live right. Well, I just don't understand what the Bible says. Listen, nonsense. Listen, it isn't that we can't go to this book and figure out, at least in general, God wants me to do that, but he doesn't want me to do this. The problem isn't we can't figure out. The problem is that willfully, blindly, we don't want to do it. Don't live like the heathen. We have to live differently. How does the world live? Their thinking is messed up because their thinking has no thought of God in it. They are willfully blind to anything that God wants, and so they just go on their way. Look at the end of verse 18. The end of verse 18, number 3. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Their hearts are hard. Brethren, look at that progression here. We go through life, we have no thought of God. Our thinking is messed up. We're not thinking about God. He never enters any conversation or any picture of any kind. So we go along that way. We are willfully blind to it. Listen, I don't want to know what this says. I don't care what this says. I'm not going to do what this says. And what that leads to is your heart becoming hard. And when a person's heart is hard, that person will do anything. Anything. People whose heart becomes hard, they have no shame. None. None. You wonder why somebody can leave their home, walk down the street, and forgive me for how blunt this is going to come out. They leave their home, they walk down the street, they walk up to a total stranger, put a gun to their head, blow their brains out, then walk back home, go to bed, and will sleep all night. How do you do that?
You can only do it because your heart is hard.
Your heart is hard. Look at it. Their thinking is messed up because they don't think of God. That's not us. They are willfully blind. I don't know what the Bible says. I want to know what the Bible says. But when you live like that long enough, your heart becomes hard. Now listen to me. Listen. What then is the result of living this way? What is the result of living this way? Look carefully at the first part of verse 19. Paul tells you, here's what happens if you live like this. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity. Stop. Sensitivity means feeling. Your translation may say feeling. In other words, the conscience is gone. That which ought to prick them not to do, they have no conscience, they have no sensitivity, they have no empathy, sympathy about anything. Watch what the results are. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to sensuality. Your version may say lasciviousness. Listen, sensuality is talking about people who have no moral restraint. None. This word is talking about people who live lives and whose conduct is outrageous. Outrageous. There's nothing immoral that they won't do. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can keep talking about it. Listen, this is talking about people who conduct themselves in such a way they don't care how much their conduct is off. They don't care. And they don't care how anybody reacts to their outrageous conduct. They're feeling, their heart is hard. Their feeling is gone. Their conscience is gone. So let's just do whatever we want to do, and they don't care how much it shocks the rest of us. Now, you think that's bad? Look at the rest of verse 19. Look at verse 19. Having lost all feeling of anything, they give themselves over to sensuality. Now watch this. So as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. I'm going to call it greed. Me, me, me. I want what I want. And that's what it is. And the more abominable it is, the more filthy it is, and the more repugnant it is, the better they like it. Welcome to America. That's not us. That's not us. You say, well, I've never done that. Well, let's go up and get the thinking part. Because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Paul says, listen, I'm telling you on the authority of Jesus Christ, we can't live like the world lives. We can't live like them. Their minds are messed up. Their thinking is all in disarray. They're willfully ignorant about God. They don't know, they don't want to know, and don't tell them because they won't let you. And the problem with that is that after a while, your heart gets hard, and when your heart gets hard, there is no bottom that you won't go to. Number two. I'm not done with this, but we got to go. Number two. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, Paul talks about the new life. The new life. The new life is the Christian life. It's the life that we as Christians have in Christ. Listen, we have taken off the old, but now we have to put on the new. Now listen carefully to how this is done. This isn't brain surgery. Watch how this is done. Look at verse 20. Paul says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Brethren, listen to me. Listen. Christianity is knowing Christ. He says in verse 20, you don't live like that. But you live like this because you have come to know Christ. Christianity is knowing Christ. You say, well, Christianity is this, this, this. No, it's knowing Christ. Because when you come to really know Christ, you'll catch the rest of it. And you won't rebel against it. It's knowing Christ. Are you listening? Now, how do we come to know him? If Christianity is knowing Christ, how do I come to know him? Look at verse 21. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him according with the truth that is in Jesus. Listen, we come to know Christ because we're taught him. Christianity, hear me. Christianity, hear me. Christianity is a taught religion. It's the only way you can get it. Christianity isn't something that's caught, it's something that's taught. I know him. How did I come to know him? I was taught. Now, wait a minute. What if you're not here when he's being taught? What if you go home, but you don't study the word? What if you go home and you don't pray? Every day, listen, every day you ought to pray for wisdom. Every day you ought to pray, God, help to open your word up. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. James 1:5. But if, listen, if you're not here when it's being taught, God help you. Hopefully you've learned something today. If you're not here when it's taught, if you're not in the Word, and if you're not praying, I'm telling you, you are never gonna know how God wants you to live. How could you? You still with me? Okay, don't leave. Because everybody, if you wander off, I'm just adding time to this. No, listen to me, all right? Christianity is knowing Christ. Well, how do I know him? You're taught. You're taught. Now, what are we taught? What are we taught that we know him? Look at verse 22 and 23. You were taught, here it is. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Well, what does that mean? Listen. We know him because we are taught. What are we taught? We are taught that as Christians, we have to take off the old man. That's what he says. As Christians, we are taught we have to shred ourselves. We have to strip ourselves of the filth from what we used to be. What these two verses are here, verse 22 and 23, these two verses are a call to repentance. We must come to know Christ. How will I do that? I'm going to be taught. What am I going to be taught? I'm going to be taught that to know Christ, I got to change. I got to change. I got to change my thinking. I got to change my living. I got to change my priorities. I got to change my values. I have to change. I want to know him. We're going to teach you him. We're going to teach you. You got to get rid of that old man. I mean, the old self you used to be, not the old man. Okay, just... I'm clarifying. I did not just tell somebody to leave somebody. We're going to be taught. I can't be like I used to be. And I got to get rid of this stuff that I'm holding on to that's taking me back there. I have to change. Finally, verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Look carefully at verse 24. Put on the new self. Put on the new self. Listen to me, look at me. You know what that phrase is talking about? That phrase is talking about individual responsibility. Put on the new self. Listen, who is responsible for me putting on the new self? I am. Who is responsible for you putting on the new self? Yes, you are. Listen, you can't put on my new self. You can't put it on me, and I can't put your new self on you. That's talking about individual responsibility. I have a responsibility to shred the old, to put on the new, and to change. And look what he says. Final word, verse 24. Look what he says. He says, you will be created like God in true righteousness and holiness. The word righteousness there means being right, doing right. But the word righteousness there is talking about your relationship to your fellow man. Listen, I'm going to do right by other people. Now, I don't know how they're going to do by me. I can only control what I do. But I'm going to do right by them. That's the word righteousness. That word righteousness deals with your interaction with your fellow man. And he says, and holiness. The word holiness there refers to your relationship with God. So I'm going to get rid of the old. I'm going to put on the new. I'm going to change, and I'm going to do right by my fellow man, and I'm going to be holy, or that is, live my life set apart for God. Listen, you can do this. You can do this. Why do you want back out there? What is it out there that, oh, this is just great? You can do this. Listen, I know you can do this, but what I need you to know is I need you to know that you can do this. Put off the old and put on the new. Put off the old. Put on the new and be what God wants us to be. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you can take off the old and put on the new. You can be immersed into Christ. If you're here as a Christian and through whatever means you've gone back to the world, whatever means that is, however it is the devil has got you out there, you're out there. And as long as you stay out there, you can't be in here. And you can't be in him. Take the step. If you're here, if you need to respond, come right now as together we stand.